You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 29. We started last week on this and did not finish it. And don't know that we'll finish it today, but we're going to give it our best shot. Proverbs 29, and speaking about vision, and when I say vision, I'm just talking about hope, having hope for your future, hope for your family, hope for your church, hope for your children, hope for your business, whatever the case may be. God wants you to have hope, amen?
Yes.
You know, we're living in a day, we're living in an age where there's just not a lot of hope. I mean, there's not a lot of hope on the news, there's not a lot of hope about the economy, there's not a lot of hope about gas prices. I mean, you just hear about all this destruction. If you watch the news all the time, you're not going to have a lot of hope. You know, that's why we have God, so we can have hope. He is the God of hope and the God of comfort. Yeah. Hallelujah. And He gives us a future and a hope. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 says He knows His thoughts that He has toward us, thoughts of good, not of evil. And to give us an expected end, a future and a hope. Think about that. And you know, the context of that's real simple. They've just gone off into Babylonian captivity, and God told Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah 29, told Jeremiah to write a letter to those who had gone into Babylonian captivity, to tell them that God would bring them back again, to tell them to go ahead and marry and go ahead and have wives and children and, you know, and work and do all the things that you normally do. Don't lose hope. In 70 years, I'll come back. I'll bring you back to this land to rebuild here again. For I know my thoughts towards you, my thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and an expected end. Even in the midst of their trouble, God did not want them to lose hope. Hallelujah. Man, you don't want to lose hope, amen? And so that's what that letter was about. In fact, it's interesting, it's a letter within a letter. There's the book of Jeremiah, and then there's a letter inside the book of Jeremiah that he specifically wrote to those that had gone off into captivity. Now, I don't know what you're into. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what, maybe you're oppressed. I don't know. You know, we all go through different things. Don't lose hope. Keep hope alive.
Yeah.
You lose hope, you perish.
That's right.
Maybe you've had a bad week. Maybe you've had a bad month. Maybe it's just been a bad year. I don't know. But don't lose hope.
Yeah.
Okay? Keep your hope alive. No matter what's going on in your life, we have hope in God.
Yes.
No matter how tragic, what the crisis may be, there is hope in God. Hey, there's hope for loved ones that have gone on. That's about as tragic as it gets, I guess. But, you know, we have hope that they're in heaven and we'll see them again. We have a future there. Hallelujah. Maybe you've gone through bankruptcy. Maybe you lost everything. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. I don't know. I know this. God loves you, and He's for you. He's not against you.
Right.
And you can make it. Hallelujah. And you can rise above it because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Right.
Whatever it is that you're facing, God is bigger than what you're facing.
Yeah.
And you need to get your face in His face.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's what He says in Proverbs 29:18 here. Boy, not to spend a lot of time reviewing. But it says in the 18th verse, where there is no revelation, actually vision, where there's no vision, King James Version says, most modern translations say, where there's no revelation. That's what a vision is. It's something revealed, something seen that's not happening right now that you can't put your hands on, but you have a vision of it or a revelation of it. And where there is no vision for the future, if you're just stuck with what you see is what you get, stick the fork in, we're done. That's what Paul said. He said it a little differently. I think he said, been there, got the T-shirt, didn't like the T-shirt, threw away the T-shirt. No, he said, if in this life alone, we have hope, we're all creatures most miserable. Thank God our hope even extends beyond this life, beyond this crisis that I'm in the middle of, beyond this trial that I'm in, beyond this valley of the shadow of death, whatever it is, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, hallelujah. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, glory to God. There's hope. I'm coming through. I'm not going to die in that valley. I'm coming through.
Praise God.
Amen?
Amen.
In the midst of all this, there's hope, hallelujah, if we keep our vision up.
That's right.
Yep.
But without a vision, without a revelation, we perish. You know, it's a classic piece of literature called Dante's Divine Comedy. Anybody ever heard of that? Dante's Divine Comedy. It was three books that were written that Dante wrote way back in 1100 A.D., a little bit before my time.
Just there, too.
But it was just classic Christian literature. Back then, most literature that was popular was Christian literature. You know, even in Shakespeare's time, a lot of what was written was Christian. There was Paradise Lost by John Milton. You know, that was a classic piece of literature. There was such a Christian worldview then that we seem to have lost in a lot of authors today. But anyway, he took a journey through hell, and then he took a journey through purgatory. Being Catholic, he believed in purgatory. I don't believe the Bible teaches that, but I mean, he's taking this journey through hell and purgatory and then paradise, which is heaven. And there are three books, and it was the Divine Comedy. Comedy back then meant a tragic thing, not a funny thing. But as he got to hell, he went up to hell, and he had this guide with him, Virgil the guide. Dante was taking an imaginary journey through hell. And he got to the gate, and over the gate of hell, it says, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." If anything hell is, it's a hopeless place. It's a place where hopes are gone, dreams are gone. Thank God I've got hope. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not going there. Even in the middle of August in Texas, that's as hot as it's going to get for me. Because I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. I've got the hope of heaven in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. But that is a hopeless place. And in your life, you know, life is a mixed bag. It has a little heaven, a little hell. It has good days and bad days. You know, if you like the good parts, you sure want to make heaven because it's heaven all day long, 24 hours a day. If you don't like the bad parts, because we can have hell on earth as it is, then you want to be sure and miss hell, because hell's hell all day long. But you don't have to abandon hope when you have those kind of days. We have Jesus to believe in. Maybe it's family, maybe it's business, maybe it's money. I don't know what the case may be. Maybe it's just emotional makeup and you're fighting depression, you know, trying to figure out what life's all about and trying to make it from day to day. Don't lose hope. Keep your eyes on God. Without a vision, without hope, without a revelation, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he, it goes on to say. See, there's a connection between keeping God's word, finding out what God says. If you dig into God's word, find out what he says, you'll find out you do have hope, you do have a future, you can make it. Yes. He that keeps the law, happy is he. That's what it goes on to say there in that same verse. So as we keep God's word, hallelujah, as we keep a revelation of what he's saying and act on it, then hallelujah, we can have hope and we can make it. Now turn to Habakkuk. Some people say Habakkuk. Some people say Habakkuk. Today it's Habakkuk, because that's the way I'm saying it. In Habakkuk, the second chapter, he's still talking about vision. These are a couple of verses we got to last week. He's talking about keeping a vision. He says in the first three verses here, "I will stand my watch, and I'll set myself on the rampart, and I'll watch to see what he will say to me." In other words, I'll find out what God is going to say to me. That's important. If you want to have an accurate vision, if you want to have a hope that you can hold on to, then it needs to be formed by God's word. You may be just be pipe dreaming. I don't know. You may be asking for and hoping for something that just there's no basis for it. There's no scripture for that. We're not talking about that kind of hope and that kind of dream. We're talking about a dream and a hope for your family, for you, for your future that is in God's word, that God promises. You know, we're kind of crazy sometimes. Are you with me? We think all kinds of wild things. You have to stop and examine your dreams and hopes to see if they're scriptural and biblical. That's why he says in Proverbs 29:18, without a revelation or without a vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. There's a connection between the word and your revelation or your vision. Is your vision scriptural? Is it godly? Is it biblical? Does God say that? Does he promise that? If you're hoping to rob a bank, don't keep that hope alive. Hello. That's not based on a word. That's not a hope or a dream that you can go for, you know. But if what you're going for is a godly thing and a scriptural thing, a biblical thing, well, hey, keep the law. Happy is he who keeps the law. You've got a basis for it. See, hope in and of itself is not the end. You have to believe in your dream. You have to believe in what your vision of your family, the vision of what your future is going to be. You have to believe, and to believe in it, you have to have a basis for belief. And our basis for belief is not our feeling, and our basis for belief is not our dream. Our basis for belief is what God promises. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you with me? Faith is, Hebrews 11:1 tells us that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. When I don't see and I don't feel and it hadn't happened yet, my faith in God's promise and his word tells me that it will happen. My faith is the substance of my hope for thing. You know, a lot of people like to have a better future. Well, that's not believing for one. That's just liking to have a better future. How many of you would like to have $1 million? Okay, we all like that. But sometimes that's not achievable or reasonable where we are. Are you out there? Y'all sure are quiet out here this morning. Hallelujah. Y'all going to help me or y'all going to torture me for another 30 minutes? Amen me. Love me too much, yeah. Love me too much. So, you know, wanting something doesn't mean you're going to get it. Hey, needing something doesn't mean you're going to get it. The idea that God will always just give you what you need. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened unto you. Well, surely God cares. Won't he be moved by my need? Actually, no. He already was moved by your need. He was moved by your need 2,000 years ago when he sent Jesus to die for your sins. Are you with me? He was moved by your need when he opened up heaven for you to call on him in the name of Jesus and receive help in the time of need. He was moved by your need way before you ever had a need. He's already ahead of you.
Yeah, that's good.
So we can't point that finger at God and says, isn't he moved by my need? Oh, he was already moved. Now he's just waiting for you to believe. Mm-hmm. Waiting for you to call. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he moved on your lost state before you were ever lost. Think about it. That's good stuff, amen? So what is God moved by in that sense then? Is he not moved by my need or my desires or my wants? No, he's moved by your faith. When the Son of Man come, will he find faith on the earth? That's what Scripture says. Didn't say when the Son of Man come, will he find need. Will the Son of Man come, will he... No, he says, will he find faith? So put faith behind your dreams. Put faith behind your vision. Put faith. How do you do that? You find out what the Word of God says. Find out if your dream or your hope is scriptural, biblical. You know, if you're talking about a good marriage, that's definitely biblical. If you're talking about peace in your home, well, hey, that's a good thing. If you're talking about even success in business, God does want you to succeed, but he doesn't want you to get greedy.
Right.
Hello. He does want to bless you, no question about that. And he wants you to be able to pay your taxes. He doesn't want the government come getting everything you got. It's not a biblical thing. Not a blessing, in other words. That's part of the curse. So the hope of that is a good thing. Now let's get scripture on that. And let's believe God and let's pray over our marriage and let's pray over our children. Are you with me? Let's pray over our business. Pray over our church. And let's let this hope become a reality. See, that's what Habakkuk is doing. He's standing on his watch and he's listening to see what God's going to say, because that's the basis for our dreams. That's the basis for our vision. I stand upon my watch and I see what he says to me and what I will answer when he speaks. Y'all see that? Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Man, that's good preaching. Oh yeah! Don't hang up now. You preach it. Okay. Second verse. Then the Lord answered and said, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." I love that. You need a clear picture of where you're going with your life and your marriage and your family and your ministry or whatever it is that you want to do for God. Get a clear picture and write it down somewhere. Put it on a piece of paper and run with it. Everybody say, "Run with it." I love it. The more you read it, the more you run with it. For the vision is not as yet for an appointed time. That's what gets us. I think we get antsy. You know, we get impatient and we get ahead of God, and we need to just wait on God and keep doing what we do every day. That's right, just and holy. And little by little, as we walk toward that vision will become plainer and clearer, and it will finally fill our whole horizon. Things become clear by approach. You can't back into the future looking at your past. You have to go forward looking at that hope. The hope is what we're going for. Are you with me? The dream, the revelation, the dream of a good marriage. We're not going to throw this marriage away just because we've had some problems. You know, we're not going to give up because we had some arguments. I know, as far as Brent and I, if in time she'll always find out I was right. In time she'll know that. Okay. And I believe she's not going to throw it away just because of what I said then either. You know, we're going to... We have the hope of a marriage, and that's not an option to us. We're going to have a good marriage, and we're going to make it, and we have to plow through things. That just happens. That's life. Come on. I don't agree with myself all the time. I'm not going to throw myself away. Hello. I mean, that's the analogy that's given in marriage. Isn't it awesome? It says, "He that loveth his wife loveth his own flesh. No man ever yet hateth his own flesh." And you might say, "Well, I've already gone through that in a divorce and so on and so forth." Well, you know what? If you repented and you're married again now, you're stuck with who you got, let's go for it. Amen? You can't unscramble age. You can't undo the past. God hates divorce, no question, but there's forgiveness if you repent of your sin, or maybe you didn't sin. Maybe you did nothing wrong, I don't know. But just get out of the past and let's go forward. Let's go forward. I can't go backwards, and you can't go backwards, and I can't undo time, and you can't. I can't undo my sins. You say, well, I think I've got to go back and undo that. Well, how? What if you killed somebody? Are you going to go raise them from the dead? That's one you couldn't undo. Is there forgiveness for that? Yeah, there is. Is it wrong? Yes, it is. But there's forgiveness for that. You've got to go forward. Yes. Are you out there?
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, that's you start wherever you are right now, let's serve God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And let's run with this vision. And wherever I am, you know, I mean, Brent and I, we're stuck in a good way. Hallelujah. Been married 30-something years. 38 years. That's right. Yeah. I knew that. I knew that. I was just seeing if, you know, it's okay. All right. So, write the vision, make it plain. He that reads may run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. If you have it in God's word, if God promises you what you're believing for, if it's God's idea, you know, for your life, a marriage, or whatever the case may be, it's there. It's there. It's achievable. It's attainable. It's reachable. You can make it. You can do it. Just hang in there. You're going to go through some tough times. The bullets are going to be flying. I mean, the battle's going to rage. But, you know, you make your stand. Praise God. Draw the line in the sand and do not cross it. And just say, look, I'm going to serve God. I don't know about everybody else. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
We're going to stand on this. We're going to believe this. We're going to hang in here. We're going to keep hope alive. Hallelujah. Because you perish when you lose hope. And as I said earlier, this is just a day where it seems like there is no hope. Well, I tell you, I keep my hope in God.
Right.
My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He delights in my prosperity. Praise God. Think about it. He wants to bless me. He daily loads me with His benefits. It is His will that if I hearken to His voice, Deuteronomy tells us this, the 28th chapter, if I hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord my God, and I do what is right in His sight, that the Lord my God, He will set me on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings, He says, will come on me, and they will overtake me. He says, I'll be blessed in the city, and I'll be blessed in the field. He said, I'll be blessed coming in, and I'll be blessed going out. He said, I'll be blessed in the fruit of my body, the fruit of my kind, the flocks of my sheep, and the fruit of the ground. Said, He caused the rain to come down on my land in its season and bless the work of my hand. Said, I'd lend to many nations and shall not borrow. Said, I'd be the head, not the tail, as I hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord my God. Now, that's what God says.
Yes.
There are times it doesn't look that way, and there are battles we have to go through, but that's what God says.
That's right.
And my eyes are on that, and my hope is in that. Hallelujah. Maybe we're going through a crisis. Maybe we're having a tough day. Maybe that cloud of depression seems to be hanging there. But in Jesus' name, it's got to go. The light's going to shine again. Listen, some people see a cloud in every silver lining. We need to turn that around. I said that so fast you missed it. That was good. That's good stuff. Yeah, you need to start seeing God and His victory and His promise. And are you with me? Hope. Keep hope alive. Run with a vision. Praise God. Vision is, and I said this as an acronym. I was just writing some things out. V-I-S-I-O-N. You could say valuable information, supernaturally inspired, outside the natural.
Yeah.
I love that. Now, if you don't have that, you're in trouble. Because if you don't have information that's inspired outside the natural, then all you get is what you see. And all you get is what you feel. But see, here we have valuable information, supernaturally inspired, outside the natural. We've got information the world does not have. We know things they don't know. We have God, we have His Word, we have His promises, we have hope. Hallelujah. When the world gives up, we don't have to give up. When the world quits, we don't have to quit. We can hang in there, amen? So, keep the vision up and run toward the vision. Go toward it, not away from it. Don't even stay still. Keep walking toward it. Keep doing things that take you in that direction. You know, even if you're on a right road, you're going to get run over if you're sitting down in the middle of it. So you need to be moving. Faith is always moving. Love is always moving. Love is always giving. Believing and hoping is active. It's passionate. It's alive. It's vibrant. It's always going forward. I can't undo the past. I can't undo yesterday. I can't undo last week or last year. There are things that I've done in my life that I've repented of. You know, that I think of them now, they make me feel bad. But you know what? I've repented of those things. I ask God to forgive me. What am I doing dwelling in that past, in that failure? You're not doomed to repeat failure over and over and over.
Yes, that's right.
Don't you project your past into your future. No. You are who God says you are. You have what God says you have, and you can do what God says you can do.
That's right.
Amen. Now, the problem, I think, is we don't always know what God says, and that's where we perish. We don't have a vision because we don't know what God says to have a vision for. All we see is what we see, and there's no hope there. That's what Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He didn't say people. He said my people. So we need to get a hold of the Word. That's what Jesus said in the 8th chapter of John. He says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Yes. Yeah.
But we're not free because we don't know the truth.
Right.
The truth is not what you feel. The truth is not what you see. The truth are not the facts out here. They're just facts. The truth is what God says.
Right. Good.
The facts aren't lies. I'm not saying that, but they may be true, but they're not truth. Truth overcomes the facts. Truth overcomes the lie. Woo! Man, I'm preaching myself happy. I know that. I'm going to walk out here with hope. Hallelujah. Turn to Genesis 13. This is a good case in point. You know, we've talked about the principle, per se, on what to do, the formula, as it were. Let's look at a situation where this actually happened. In Genesis 13, of course, this is talking about Abram before he became Abraham. Genesis 13, I hope you follow along with me here. You know, I may say a lot and put a lot of quotes out and so on and so forth, but really what matters now is what God says. You need to know what God says here. And you need to follow along and make sure I'm telling you what God says. Don't you fall at lay yourself at the mercy of the preacher. And I are one. My goal is not to get you to follow me. My goal is to get you to follow Jesus. And my goal is not to get you to listen to me other than just listen to me to the point where you'll listen to God and hear what He's saying. Because it doesn't really matter what I say. It doesn't matter what anybody says. What matters is what God says.
Yeah.
Amen? And so if you'll check it out, any church you go to, thank God for Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, and Catholic, people that name the name of Jesus, that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that are going to heaven. There's a lot of great churches, but nobody's infallible. I'm not infallible. And so wherever you go, whatever church you're involved in, take your Bible, follow along, make sure it's scriptural. You're staking your life on this. Come on. I've staked my family's future on this. And it's got to be a little stronger than just what a man said. It has to be what God says. Thank God for men who lead us to God and point us to God. And that's my job, if you don't know the case. I'm not here to be a followers after me. I'm here to, you follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul said. And so ultimately, that's who I'm trying to get you to. Because it's not going to be good enough for you to come against the devil in the name of Michael Williams. That's not going to help you very much. Or say, well, I heard Michael say, Pastor Michael said this. Michael, well, you need to know where it is in Scripture. Amen. All right, well, Genesis 13, found it?
Yes.
This is interesting. This is where, the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Abram had some strife and they had some contentions to such a degree that they could not work it out. They just couldn't do it. Sad deal, but it happened. And sometimes that happens in life, in relationships. Sad, sad, sad. Bad thing. But what they came down to, and Abram said, look, let's not have this strife between us. You take your shepherds and wherever you want to go, and you go, and I'll take my shepherds and I'll go, you know, wherever you don't choose to go, because this is not working out. I mean, they had a huge, huge amount of people there. You have to realize that Abram wasn't traveling around with just Sarah, Hagar, and his nephew Lot and a couple of sheep. In fact, he went and rescued his nephew Lot in the next chapter with 318 trained servants born in his house, trained for war, that he had with him, traveling around with him. They were warriors that were born in his house who had parents and who had brothers and sisters. Many of them were married and probably had children. Most estimates, he probably had a couple of thousand people that he traveled with. Listen, when he come into Egypt, the Pharaoh took notice of Abraham and made a league with him. See, we often have this wrong concept. We read about Abraham. Abraham, just read it. How do you have 318 guys trained for war in your house? You tell me there was no women, there were no children, there were no parents. If they were born in this house, I don't, you know, I'm not a medical doctor, but I know you got to have parents. Just say it. I mean, you know, you just think it through. So, I mean, there's a lot of people there. And listen, he had these 318 servants with him after Lot left with all his shepherds. So anyway, that was this situation. So he's standing here now. Lot has left, and Lot picked all the good land. At that time, it looked good. You know where he wound up, Sodom and Gomorrah. But it looked good, you know. And he picked that good land, and God spoke to Abram and said this in 13th chapter, 14th verse. And the Lord said to Abram after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the host, the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Wow. That's pretty wild, isn't it? But it's interesting that God wanted him to keep his hope. And he kept his hope up by showing him something, by revealing something to him. And he kept his hope up by causing him to look beyond where he was. There's a lot in this when you begin to examine this. All this took place after Abraham was separated from Lot. You know, in life, if you're going to have your dreams and your hopes come to pass and you're going to be what God wants you to be, there's a lot of times in relationships you have to separate yourself from strife, from negative. People won't serve God. Friends that just not going to go with you on this deal. They're not your friends anyway. Love them and pray for them. Don't get self-righteous about it. Are you with me? But it's interesting that Abraham didn't really see his future until he was separated from that bad relationship, from that strife. I'm not talking about your husband or your wife, okay? Don't you run out of here and say, I'm free. Get out. You know. No, you're married. You stay married. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our friends, our relationships, and so on and so forth. Where there's strife, it's a hope killer. It's a dream killer. It's a vision killer. You can't have strife. Strife will stop it. It'll keep you from seeing what God has in store for you. And then he told him, he says, look beyond where you are. Look from the place where you are. Vision always has to do with something beyond where you are, more than what you have. Somewhere other than where you are in your walk with God, in your marriage. You know, if you're happy with your marriage, fine. But you know, the good news is it can even be better.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm not trying to pop a bubble or anything, but you're not the best husband ever. You're not the best wife ever. You're good, and that's great. I've got a wonderful wife, but I'm just an awesome husband. Stay with me. It's just my humility that keeps me from telling you how really great I am. But anyway, I'm writing two books. One of them is Humility and How I Attained It. And the other one is God Humbled Me, and I'm proud of it. But anyway, no, all that aside, even if you're happy and doing great, do you know you can do better? Don't lose hope. Say, I can do even better than this. I can be a better husband. I can be a better wife. I can be a better daddy. I can be a better parent. I can be a better, you know, a better child. I can be a better pastor. I can. I don't want to just stop where I am and say, well, I finally got there. Woohoo! Finally made it. Perfect pastor. Well, I'm sorry, but there's no perfect anybody. We're all growing and we're all improving. And hope has to do with going forward. It has to do with improving. It has to do with adding to that, looking beyond the place where you are. I hope you're doing good. I hope you are. But you could do better. Now, if you're not doing good, there's hope. Hallelujah. You can. Amen. You can do better. But there's some adjustments you have to make. You have to watch relationships. You have to watch vision. Where are you looking? Where are your eyes? Are your eyes just on the present, on what's going on right now? Or are you looking forward? Forward thinking, that's where God wants us. Ministry-wise, marriage-wise, family-wise, business-wise. Y'all getting this? Okay, so he said, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot separated, because he wasn't able to see it, he wasn't able to hear it because the strife blocked it. Strife in your life will block your vision. You ever been frustrated and bitter? No hope. There's no hope there. because it blocks it. You've got to get rid of that in order to start seeing a future and a hope in your life. So he says this, after he's separated from, lift your eyes now, lift up, look beyond where you are. Well, this is it. No, this is not it. Well, this is all there is. No, it's not all there is. Get quiet in here. Well, I'm just trying to find out who I am. I'm just trying to get in touch with my inner self. You need to kill that inner self is what you need to do. And you need to become what God wants you to be. Life's not about finding out who you are. Life's about becoming what God wants you to be. Well, I just found out, you know, I was raised this way, and I was, you know, my parents did this, and I see now that I'm just doing that same thing, and I guess just that's just the way I am. It's just my blood, it's my environment, it's something. It's just you're a victim. Forget it. Forget it. We all have stories to tell. I've had bad past. You've got bad past. You know, somebody. I always think of Joseph. His brothers threw him down a well, sold him to the Midianites, and told his daddy he died. That's dysfunctional. But Joseph made it. Joseph chose to believe God. He had a tough time. He went to prison even after that. But you know, he kept hope alive. He kept believing. He went from prison to palace. Maybe you had a rough past. I hope you had a good family. I do. I really do. But not everybody did. And I understand that if we got to talking here, we'd find all kinds of horror stories that went on, even abuse and so on and so forth. But let me tell you something. You're not a victim. You're a child of the living God, and you can start today, and you can go forward. You don't have to live in the past. You don't have to go back there. You're not a product of all that mess in your life. You are a child of the living God who has a will and a choice and a future and a hope. I hate all that happened, but now what are we going to do about it? Let's get back up on our feet, and let's believe God, and let's let God use us, and let God take us forward. Hallelujah. And let God make something out of us. Praise God. Maybe we had some bad breaks in life, but you know what? That's past. It's over. Maybe your parents didn't do you right. Well, listen, maybe they did the best they could do. I don't know, but it's not up to them now. It's up to you now.
Yeah.
And pointing the finger is not going to help anybody.
That's right.
Not going to help me. I mean, I could point. I could blame. I could make excuses. You know what you ought to decide is you're going to do better than that.
Yeah.
Don't hold hate and bitterness. Pray for them. Forgive them and go on. Forgiveness is going to hold you back. St. Augustine said this classic verse, a classic word, and I've said it often. A great saint in the 4th century or 5th century, he said, if a bad man sins against you, you forgive him, lest there be two bad men. You get that? You've got to forgive if you're going to go forward. You can't hold on to bitterness and strife and unforgiveness. You can't do it. You've got to let it go, and you've got to go forward. God's wanting to take us somewhere. And life's about becoming who God wants us to be. And I don't believe he's through yet. I don't think he's through with me. I don't think he's through with you. I don't think the last chapter has been written yet. I think there's still ink in the pen. I think you can write another page. You can go forward. God's on your side. And if God before you, who can be against you? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. And he always causes you to triumph in Christ and always gives you the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. If there's breath in your body, you can make it. You can improve. You can do better. You can with him through Christ who strengthens you. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay, so he says here about Abram that he, after he separated, got rid of the strife, he was able to see and lift up his eyes and look from the place where he was. And he says, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants. That's forever. Now see, that's so important. Envision or anything that God has for you, if you don't see it, you can't have it. If you don't get a clear picture of it, it's not going to happen for you. And if you don't get in the Word and you don't seek God and if you don't pray and turn it over to God, really do it. Really, come on now, turn it over to God. You're not Superman. I'm not Superman. I can't do everything. God can. I'm not big enough to handle everything, but I am through Him who strengthens me. Are you with me? Hey, that's okay. I mean, I really... There's nobody that can handle everything. There's nobody. This is not a movie. The hero can just do anything. I mean, he can come in with a pistol. Everybody's got AK-47s. There's 100 of them, and he's got 6 shells, and he kills all of them. Every shot kills 55 people. I don't understand. The hero never messes up. Well, life's not that way, is it?
No.
And you can't kill all your enemies. can't shoot everybody you disagree with. You make mistakes. You do dumb things. I do dumb things. I have to repent. I have to get back up. I can't believe I did that. Well, you know what? Everybody else can believe it. You have to think about that one, huh? Okay. Can't believe I did that. We can believe it. Get over it, you know. Get back up. Just keep going. But with God now, hey, wait a minute. With God, I can make it. I can get through this thing. Hallelujah. I can call on Him. I can keep my hope alive. I can lift up my eyes from where I am. You know, the first thing you've got to get over in life is yourself. Might as well get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. And then after that, this sounds kind of crazy, but after you get over yourself, you have to be yourself. You can't be anybody else. Everybody else has already taken. So you just be yourself for God. Get over yourself and be yourself for God. Because you're who God made you. And He wants to help you. You. He doesn't want to help you be Tommy. He wants to help you be you. He wants to help Tommy be Tommy. But the best Tommy that Tommy could ever be. And He wants to help me be me. I'm very unique. Missed a good chance there, but I'm moving on. I'm who I am. You are who you are. No excuse for something immoral or wrong or rude or crude. I'm not talking about that. That's not who you are. You need to repent of that. But everybody has a different personality and a different gift, something else to offer. And God brings that out. Hallelujah. He brings out the best in us because He is the best in us. Hallelujah. All right. So He told him if he could see it. See, that's the thing. If you can see it, if you can see it in the Word, and most of us can't see a future. We can't see a hope. We can't see it. We're not in the Word like we should. We're not really seeking God as we should. We're not really praying, so we can't see a hope. I counsel with people, you know, that in a marriage, and generally what happens in a marriage, when people have trouble in a marriage, they're ready to get a divorce, and then they decide, let's go talk to the preacher. After they've already decided what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And then they come, because so they could say, yeah, we went to the preacher. Right. But it's already a done deal. They already decided what they're going to do. But they want to just tell everybody, yeah, we went to the preacher. Yeah, we did that. They don't want counsel. They want approbation. Yep. You know, they just want you to agree with them. And that's the wrong thing to do. You want to do it long before it gets there.
Right.
Yep. Are you with me? And so if you want help, you need to go to God regularly to see this thing, to see your future, to see your hope, to see the way out of the mess that you're in. You can't look backwards. You've got to look forwards. And that's where God wants us. He will look all around us. I love that. I mean, all this is yours. As far as you can see, it's yours. If you can see it, it's yours. Now, how many times when you begin to tell people how they can make it and get out of the mess they're in, they'll say things like, I just can't see that. That's great. I mean, sometimes they're kind. They'll say, I know you're concerned. I appreciate your help, but I just can't see that. Well, that's the whole point. You can't see it because you're not spending time looking at it. Are you with me? Hey, turn over to Philippians 3. We'll close this out. It's Mother's Day. I don't want to keep you too late. Because when Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So we want to make sure Mamas are happy. This helping you?
Yes.
You know, I wrote some things down where you turned there. Philippians 3 is where I want you to go to. I was thinking about a vision coming from the Word. Yeah, Philippians 3. It's a spiritual, we need spiritual education. I'll wax poetic here, so y'all just listen up. We need a spiritual education based on biblical information. Isn't that right? You need supernatural education, but you don't need to go to a psychic or a fortune teller. You need to go to the Bible. Amen? We need spiritual education based on biblical information, accompanied with much meditation. Because it's as you meditate and on these truths, these promises, and go over them in your life and say them over your family and talk to God about them. Meditate on them. That's when it begins to burn and come alive. Spiritual education based on biblical information accompanied by much meditation, which will bring the revelation, the vision, that provides the motivation, because if you have hope, you got motivation, amen, to attain the manifestation. Hallelujah. Y'all got it? We need spiritual education based on biblical information accompanied with much meditation, which will bring the revelation that provides the motivation to attain the manifestation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's how it'll happen, see? See, you're not motivated because you're not don't have the revelation. The revelation will motivate you. You know, you need vision to have motivation. You know, it's been said this way. I think it was an Andy Stanley book I read one time on visioneering years ago. He said, you know, you get tired of filling bags with sand. If that's all you did all day long was just fill bags with sand. But if you knew there was a flood coming, it would motivate you. All of a sudden, it's not a mundane task. We got a purpose for this. We're keeping the water from destroying our place. We're building a dike. We're building a dam. Are you with me? See, the vision gives you the motivation. Well, I don't want to be nice today. Well, do you want to wind up in divorce court? I don't. It'll give me the motivation to say, yes, honey, that was very good food. I don't have any motivation for that. Brenda's a great cook. See, I'm working it right now, even. But anyway, when you don't feel good, be nice. You can do it. You can be civil. the phone rings and you're watching your favorite show, and people don't want to hear what you said on your way to picking up that phone. Cannot believe every time I sit down here, I just sat down. This is my time, and the phone rings. Hello. Oh, nothing. No, go ahead. What's up? You're civil because the vision of good relationship, good friends, you know it takes some effort. You can't just holler at them on the phone. Call me back later. I don't want to talk to you right now, you know. Unless, of course, it's a salesperson and you have license then to slam the phone down whenever you want to. Anyway. Okay, Philippians 3, let's wrap this up. Philippians 3, you know where I'm going with this one. Paul says in the 13th verse, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you." See, you can't live in the past. If you're looking at the past, then you're backing into your future and you're going to fall over and trip over something. You're not going to get along very well at all. Turn around and face your future. Turn around and face your destiny. Turn around and face the dream and the goal that God has for your life and walk in it. And the more you walk in it, the closer you get to it, the clearer it becomes. Isn't that right? But you can't do it by stopping every once in a while and turning around and dragging the past along with you. The past failures, the times you tried and it didn't work, the people that tried it and didn't work. Come on, let it all go. God says this. We're going to go for what God says. We're going to stand at our watch and we're going to hear what God says to us, and we're going to respond to Him when He answers, and we're going to write it down and we're going to run with it. Hallelujah. Because without a vision, the people perish. We're going to get rid of the strife. Hello. We're going to look beyond where we are today and we're going to see what God says. And not what the world says. Amen. Not what my feelings say. Not what my head tells me. But what God says. Yes. And I'm going to forget those things that are behind. Amen. I'm going forward. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, don't let failure go to your head.
Yes.
Amen. We often hear about success, but hey, don't let failure go to your head. Let's let the Word of God go to our head. Amen? And let's attain our future that God wants us to attain.